Tearing onto the rooftop, Ruby was immediately blindsided by a strong gust of wind. As she clawed back the strands of long dark hair from her face, her vision cleared to reveal a man in the distance. Rucksack on his back, he held onto the hotel flagpole as she clambered onto the roof ledge. All of London seemed laid out before her, with lights twinkling in the distance amongst the skyscrapers that formed a breathtaking backdrop that she knew and loved. In any other circumstances, it was beautiful. But it was all lost on Ruby as she approached the man before her. He glanced back, his features contorted as he grabbed the flagpole beside him that ruffled in the breeze.
"Put the radio down!"
he shouted, the wind catching his words. Ruby held her hands out before her, gently lowering her police radio and harness to the floor. "It's me, Ruby," she said, having met him before.
"I know who you are."
The man frowned. "How did you find me?" But Ruby did not answer quickly enough.
"I said, how did you know I was here?"
"Mason Gatley," Ruby replied. "Please, Father, come away from the edge so we can talk things through." The priest turned his head to face her, the wind ruffling his hair as he clung onto the flagpole.
"He told you about his confessions?"
"Yes," Ruby said, "and how they turned into something more. He encouraged you, didn't he? Got pleasure from hearing about your kills." Up until her conversation with Mason, she had been convinced that the killer was James. Spurned by his father, eager to please, he seemed the most obvious suspect. She had justified the lack of sexual intercourse with the victims because James was gay. But Isaac was different. He did not kill these people with lustful intent. He took his vow of celibacy seriously. Men or women, they were all sinners in his eyes. A theory grown from a past that would not let go. Isaac raised a palm to his hair as his fringe danced in his eyes. The breeze on the rooftop was sharp, despite the clement weather.
"Stay where you are!"
he shouted, the wind whipping his words.
"Don't move another step!"
"We've got Abby!"
Ruby shouted, taking another step forward. "Officers found her just in time." She tried not to think of how high up they were as she approached the flagpole with caution.
"I don't believe you," Isaac said. "She's dead, but you can't pin it on me. All you have is the word of a killer and nothing more."
"We know everything," Ruby replied. "Your phone calls to Sanity Line, your troubled childhood. It's why you came to me, isn't it? To try and put things right. But then you got afraid and backed out. I showed you the pictures. You put the blame on Mason's son instead."
"Get back!" Isaac shouted. "I was making things right. Don't you see? All these sinners, they need to be taught a lesson. Nobody listens to sermons anymore. I had to take action. I had to make them pay."
"I'm not here to discuss morality," Ruby said. "I'm here to bring you in.
You have to account for the murders of Melissa Sherman, Cheryl Barber, and Matthew Johnson. The abduction of Thomas Crawley and the attempted murder of Abby Forbes." Ruby thought she could appeal to his better nature, but the priest's eyes had glazed over as he took a step towards the edge of the building. Gradually, she moved closer, the wind chilling her skin. A low mumble followed as Isaac began to pray.
"Please take my hand," Ruby said, placing one foot onto the ledge while she tried to keep her balance. She was all too aware that he could grab for her, should he wish to take her over the edge.
"There's only one way this is ending, and it's not with me in prison," Isaac said. "I'd rather take my chances with God."
Ruby's eyes widened as she realized he was serious. She needed a negotiator, but time was not on her side as he shifted closer to the edge. All she could do was try to delay him until units realized where she was.
At least I made an effort during my time here. I tried to put things right, he said, giving her one last glance.
Is that why you joined the priesthood? Ruby asked. Surely this wasn't what you intended. You're not Mason Gatley. You've been hurt too. It's time to face up to what you've done.
You're right, Isaac replied. Yes, I need to be judged for my sins.
Ruby exhaled in relief as she held out her hand.
Good. Then come down from there, please.
You misunderstand me, Detective. Only God is fit to judge me. Closing his eyes, he released his grip from the flagpole and surrendered his body into the air.
Chapter 60. Lurching forward, Ruby wrapped her fingers around the cold metal flagpole as she grabbed the priest's rucksack with her left hand. Life seemed to pass in slow motion as she made the decision to jump. But in those nanoseconds, she forged the strength of conviction that saving his miserable life was the right thing to do. In a strange moment of enlightenment, her senses awoke in a blaze. Hanging over the edge of the building, with one hand gripping the pole, the sounds and smells of city life erupted around her. The feeling of her heart freezing in her chest as fear took hold. The sudden rush of air into her lungs as she inhaled a breath to scream his name. Panic had overcome her as she jumped onto the ledge, screaming a warning to pedestrians on the streets below. She had seen the look in the priest's eyes before he closed them, resigned to his fate. But she was not alone. Having pressed the panic button on her airwave radio before putting it down, she had given the control room an open mic. Her colleagues reached the rooftop just seconds before Isaac had let go. The church was an angle that Ruby had been keen to explore when it came to giving him a reason to live. She had not expected him to turn it on its head and use his death as a means of facing his maker. Her fingers wrapped around the straps of his backpack, his eyes snapped open at the sudden jolt. Ruby winced as the priest dangled against the ledge, struggling against her grip. As her fingers began to slide on the flagpole, she refused to relinquish her hold. She had never been so relieved when D.I. Downs's strong arms wrapped around her and her colleague's steady hands guided them back onto solid ground. His eyes wide in disbelief, Isaac screamed in rage. Bundled to the ground, he was handcuffed before he could do himself any more harm. It was not that Ruby cared enough about the killer to risk her own life. Sickened by his actions, she could just as easily have watched him hurtle to his death. But she could not deprive the victims' families of justice. The horrors of his acts would haunt them for years to come. But D.I. Downs did not appear in agreement as he pulled her to one side.
What the hell were you thinking? You could have got yourself killed. And for what? To prevent a death in custody? You should have let the bastard jump.
I saw you coming from the corner of my eye, Ruby said, her heart still hammering in her chest. I knew you'd have my back. But her grip on the rucksack would only have lasted for seconds before he pulled her down. Furiously, her captive had wriggled, depriving her of every last ounce of strength.
Christ, woman, you nearly gave me a heart attack. For real this time. You're mad. Completely off your head.
Downs shook his head, his eyes wide with disbelief. You would have done the same thing to bring him in, Ruby said, but the look he returned told her this was not the case. After getting Isaac to his feet, the officers dragged him to the stairwell, ignoring his outrage at being saved.
How did you know it was him?
Downs said, as they both followed from behind. Ruby pointed to the sky, relieved but happy. Call it divine intervention, she smiled. I went to the prison thinking it was James, but I came out with the priest's name. A glint of admiration crept into his gaze.
It's thanks to you that we found Abby alive. Now let's get this waste of space in custody, where he belongs.
Chapter 61.
Are you sure this is wise?
Luddy asked, pulling the car up on the immaculate tarmac drive.
Shouldn't we have brought uniform as backup just in case?
It's about pride, Ruby said, her face taut. We started here, so we'll end here. No fanfare, no police units, just the satisfaction of a job well done. Events from the day before were still fresh in her mind. Closure was what was needed now.
But it's not well done, is it? Luddy said, turning off the ignition. Three people have died.
Fiddling with her police radio, Ruby pressed the code to update her time of arrival at the address she had logged.
Can you look me in the eye and say you did your best with the resources that you had?
She clipped her airwave radio to her belt before meeting his gaze. She could see his thoughts were tainted with guilt for the lives they had not been able to save.
Yeah, Luddy nodded. I couldn't have done any more.
There you go, then. Thomas Crawley is alive because of us. Abby and her unborn baby are too. The killer only stopped because we disrupted him. It could have been so much worse.
You squeezed the info out of Mason Gatley, not us, Luddy said, his hands resting on the steering wheel of the car.
Ruby laughed incredulously.
You're kidding me, aren't you? Who's put together the file for the CPS? Who's trawled through the mountain of statements and evidence to make the case strong?
It's teamwork. Always has been, which is why I asked you along. Luddy delivered a lopsided grin.
It's a good thing I threw away her phone number, eh? That would have made for an awkward first date.
Yes, well, looks like she's expecting us. There's some serious curtain twitching going on, Ruby said, before stepping out of the car.
This time, she's all yours.
Buttoning his suit jacket, Luddy followed Ruby as she approached the house. They would not be removing their shoes. Today, their attention was not on the lavish surroundings. It was solely focused on the occupant within. The front door was opened before Ruby was able to press the gold-plated doorbell. Hannah greeted them with a 14-carat smile.
Owen, Ruby, I didn't expect to see you again so soon.
Can we come in? Ruby asked, unimpressed with the use of their first names. We need to speak to you about Cheryl's case.
Of course, Hannah said, wiping the flour from her hands onto the apron tied around her waist. You'll have to excuse me. I'm baking. Come into the kitchen. We can talk there.
The smell of freshly baked sponge cake filled the hall, teasing Ruby's senses.
It's a family recipe, Hannah said. My sister's grandchildren begged me to make some for the school fete.
You wouldn't happen to have a file in one of those cakes, would you? Ruby said, unable to resist the quip. Hannah frowned, creating distance between them as she turned her back to peep through the oven door.
I'm not with you, officer, she said, but her tone was strained, and after composing herself, she turned to face her.
We know about Isaac, Father McElroy. Change his surname when he joined the priesthood, did he? No wonder we couldn't trace him. What did you do, put him up to the murders?
What? Hannah said, her eyebrows shooting up. I've no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, come on, Ruby said. Cut the crap. We know he's your son, and as for giving him an alibi, did you think we wouldn't check? Hannah whipped off the apron and threw it on the side.
You're wrong. Isaac comforted me in my grief. Cheryl was my best friend. I was devastated when she died.
Her fingers crept to the crucifix around her neck, but today her eyes were filled with fear. Devastated enough to be eyeing up my DC just days after her death? Why did you give Owen your phone number? Were you scared that things with Gordon wouldn't work out? Or were you trying to lead us away from the trail? Ruby advanced towards Hannah, sliding her handcuffs from the pouch on her shoulder harness. The sight of the handcuffs sparked further terror.
I don't know what you mean, Hannah said,
stepping backwards until she hit the kitchen units. Ruby gave her a knowing look. She was not buying her innocent act. I know about your affair. Your son, he's a real chameleon, isn't he? Giving sermons during the day and murdering his victims by night. Provide him with the coke, did you? Can't see there would be much call for it where he lives with the other priests.
That had nothing to do with me, Hannah said. It was Mason Gatley that put the idea in his mind.
Yet you were kind enough to pass out invites at the golf club to his debauchery page. Your friends were very reluctant to dob you in. That is, until your son was arrested and they saw how much trouble you were in. Ruby slowly advanced, DC Ludgrove one step behind her. You knew he was under Mason Gatley's influence, yet you hinted that Cheryl was a woman who didn't deserve to live. Then you set up a date with Matthew Johnson and killed him so Isaac could take his identity. With everything in place, all you had to do was to reel Cheryl in. Under the blinding light of the truth, Hannah's expression changed. With nowhere left to go, she glared at Ruby with undiluted hatred in her eyes.
Cheryl didn't deserve Gordon. She stole him away from me. I was just reclaiming what was rightfully mine.
By killing her, Ruby said, inwardly warmed by Hannah's admittance.
I never touched her, though, did I?
Hannah's mouth turned upwards in an ugly smile.
It's not my fault if my son felt compelled to take it further. You'll never pin this on me.
We'll see about that, Ruby said, grabbing her by the wrist.
Ow!
Hannah yelled.
What are you doing?
You're under arrest on suspicion of the murder of Matthew Johnson and perverting the course of justice. We've got new witness testimony, someone who saw you leaving his flat. As Ruby began to recite the caution, Hannah pulled away.
That's not happening!
Hannah grimaced as she jolted backwards, her fingers wrapping around a bread knife on the kitchen counter. Her hand shook as she held it aloft, staring from Ruby to Owen as they stood either side. From the oven, a plume of grey smoke filtered out as the last of her cakes began to burn.
Don't be stupid, Luddy said, unclasping his baton from his shoulder harness and releasing it to its full extent.
It's okay. Ruby shot Luddy a reassuring glare. Everything's under control. Drop the knife, Hannah. You really don't want to go there. In the hall, the smoke alarm began to beep, but Ruby's attention was on the blade of the knife glinting in Hannah's hand. A single stab wound was what had killed Matthew Johnson. She had murdered once already. Ruby would not underestimate her again.
You're not taking me!
Hannah said, her voice taking on a hysterical tone as she swiped the air. She carried a manic look in her eye, a trait that she no doubt had passed on to her son. Having investigated Isaac's background, Ruby discovered that Hannah was the mother he had told the helpline about. After spending a few years in Scotland, he had come to live in London and joined the priesthood upon his return. But Hannah had been cocky, providing him with an alibi when officers asked about his visits to Mason Gatley in the psychiatric unit. Put the knife down, Ruby said firmly, taking another step forward. It felt like deja vu as she persuaded yet another killer to hand themselves in.
You're not arresting me!
Hannah screamed, raising the blade in the air.
I'm not going to prison! Not for Isaac, not for anyone!
Hannah? A voice trailed from the doorway behind them.
What are you doing?
He paused to cough as the smell of burning cake filtered through the air.
Darling, I...
Hannah said, her gaze diverted. Coming down hard with his baton, Luddy swung for Hannah's right arm. As the knife clanged against the tiled floor, Ruby pulled out her cuffs, risking a quick glance over her shoulder. It was Gordon, and he was standing, frozen in the doorway, his face pale and his mouth open in shock.
"You've broken my arm!"
Hannah screamed, clutching her forearm miserably. Ruby clicked on the handcuffs, barely able to hear Gordon speaking over Hannah's howls of despair.
"What's going on?" he repeated, making no move to comfort the screaming woman who had crumpled onto the floor. "Why are you arresting her?"
"Like you don't know," Ruby said, pulling Hannah to her feet. Turning off the smoking oven, Gordon seemed mystified by their presence, his eyebrows raised.
"You're not saying..."
He paused, trying to gather his words.
"You're not saying Hannah had something to do with Cheryl's murder, are you?"
"We can talk about it down the station," Ruby said. "You'll need to come in too." Gordon stood, still open-mouthed.
"You've got this all wrong. I didn't kill my wife."
"Just the same, we need to talk," Ruby said, holding on to Hannah as Luddy took her other arm. "We've arrested Isaac. He's told us everything."
"Isaac who?" Gordon said, his frown deepening in confusion.
"Hannah's son," Ruby said. "The man who murdered your wife. Cheryl wasn't the only victim caught up in all of this."
"I didn't mean him to kill the others. You can blame Mason Gatley for that," Hannah wailed.
Gordon stared in disbelief. He spoke between his fingers.
"No.
Sweetheart, you're not thinking straight. Tell them it's not true." "It was the only way we could be together," she said miserably, as Ruby led her to the door. "Tell her to loosen these cuffs. They're really hurting me."
Ruby shook her head. Even now, she was thinking of herself. Chapter 62. Ruby was feeling pleased with herself, having bagged an outside seat at one of her favourite cafes. Based on Red Church Street, Franz and Evans was situated right at the top of Brick Lane. As the sun warmed her face, she reflected that soon summer would be upon them. Her life had changed beyond recognition in the last year. She was glad to see the back of her grubby little flat, and struggling to pay for her mother's care. Nathan had been a lifesaver. It was only now, when she could see how hard he was trying, that she could accept his help without being plagued by guilt. Nobody knew what the future would hold, but having both her family and her job was more than she could have dreamed of. A month had passed since the murders, enough time for people to come to terms with events and for wounds to begin to heal. As Abby joined her, Ruby knew she had made the right decision. She had risked her life to save Isaac's, but now he and his mother had been charged, justice had been done. "Let me get you a coffee," Ruby said, as Abby graced her with a smile. The welts around her neck had softened in time. Ruby had yet to look at her hand. It was missing a finger, a gruesome reminder of how close she had come to death.
"I'm okay, thanks. I saw you had a drink, so I ordered myself a green tea on the way in."
"Their French toast and bananas is to die for," Ruby said. "Can I tempt you? My treat?"
"I'm fine, thanks," Abby replied. "Besides, it should be me treating you. D.C. Rutherford, he told me what you did. I felt that I needed some..."
She tapped a varnished finger against her lip.
"What's the word?"
"Closure," Ruby replied.
"Yes, that's it. Closure. That's why I asked to meet.
If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be alive today.
Her words faded as thoughts of the past filled her mind.
If he hadn't looked out the window and seen the police.
Abby's words were cut short by her tears. She fell silent as staff placed her tea on the table, and, taking out a tissue, dabbed the wetness from her eyes.
I'll pass on your thanks to the team, Ruby replied.
How are you coping?
It must have taken a lot for you to meet me today.
I'm good,
she said, pausing to pour her tea.
If anything, Steve and I are closer than before. I came so near to death. Steve said nothing else mattered. He just wanted to get me and the baby home.
Congratulations, Ruby said, keeping her reservations about Steve's controlling ways to herself. The domestic abuse team had already offered Abby assistance and was politely told to go away.
I hear the pregnancy is going well.
It is, Abby nodded. I was so blind back then. I didn't trust myself to handle it. But now I know I'm strong enough for anything. We're putting the past behind us and moving on.
I have a feeling there's something more you want to know, Ruby said, noticing her hesitancy as she stirred her tea.
Abby's lips turned upwards in a soft smile.
I could ask questions forever and never be satisfied.
I'm glad he's pleading guilty, though. At least I'll be spared the embarrassment of testifying in court.
You've nothing to be ashamed of. He's admitted everything, and the evidence against him is strong, Ruby said, keen to put her mind at rest. Abby sipped her tea, her little finger poised in the air as she raised her cup.
I heard he had a rough childhood.
It was true. Isaac had put his mother on a pedestal, but he did not know her at all. He was too focused on his father's misdemeanors to realize that she was using him for her own gain.
Doesn't justify what he's done, Ruby said, pausing to take a drink.
From reading through her research, Abby's childhood had been far worse. But it was not something she wanted to dwell on today. Abby was a survivor. She was moving on.
You want to know why I saved him, don't you? Why I didn't let him jump.
You're a very perceptive person, Abby said.
But yes, sometimes it keeps me awake at night. I feel so angry for what he did to me.
I bought a new wedding ring. I'll wear it on my right hand.
What about a prosthetic finger? Ruby asked,
finally daring a glance at her left hand. The stump looked red and sore, out of place on such smooth and unlined skin.
I'm having one as soon as everything's healed. It's a small blessing that he cauterized my hand after amputating my finger. I could have bled out.
You're a strong woman, Ruby said. Most people would have fallen apart.
I'm not the only one, Abby replied, giving her a respectful nod. They told me you pulled him back off the roof with one hand. Why risk your life for him? I don't understand.
Ruby swatted an inquisitive fly from their table.
I wanted you to have justice. It might not feel like it now, but after he's convicted, you'll be glad that he served his time and paid for what he did. Death is too easy an option for the likes of him.
She met Abby's gaze.
Do you know, he closed his eyes and smiled, actually smiled, as he let go. I remember thinking that he didn't get to choose how it ended. It wasn't up to him.
Ruby could feel her passion rising, the old emotions coming to the surface once more.
Now I understand. Thank you, Abby said, draining her tea.
Don't get me wrong, I was tempted to push him off myself. Ruby smirked. But it's better to play things by the book. It was the right thing to do. A look of understanding passed between them. Ever the rule breaker, she sometimes surprised herself by working inside the law. As Abby said her goodbyes and left, Ruby caught sight of Nathan, strolling down Brick Lane with Kathy by his side. A flutter rose in her stomach as he approached. His white shirt was open at the neck, perfectly fitted to flatter his muscular form. Hands deep in his trouser pockets, he smiled as he returned her admiring glance. Ruby could not catch Kathy's words, but they had the effect of making him laugh. In her Topshop jeans and billowing white blouse, she looked as carefree as Ruby had ever seen her in a very long time.
"Have you decided yet?"
Nathan said, stretching his hand out to take Ruby's. Their afternoon excursion was yet to be chosen. Briefly kissing him on the cheek, Ruby laced her fingers in Nathan's as she walked between him and Kathy. Finally, she felt confident enough to go public with their relationship and face whatever lay ahead.
"What about taking in a show? Think we can get any decent tickets at this late stage?"
"I know a man who can."
Nathan winked.
"Oh, Dad, what are you like?" Kathy replied. "Why sit in some stuffy theatre when we can have some fun instead? I fancy the Tower of London, the Dungeon Tour."
"You choose, then," Ruby said. "We've got the whole day to ourselves." As they strolled to Nathan's car, Ruby was not complacent enough to believe they were home and dry. Experience taught her that danger lurked around every corner. But courage in danger was half the battle. With her family by her side, she would get through whatever was to come.
This has been an Audible Studios production of Murder Game, written by Caroline Mitchell, performed by Emma Newman. Copyright by Caroline Mitchell, 2017. Production copyright 2018 by Audible Limited. Audible Studios is a division of Audible Limited.
Audible hopes you've enjoyed this program.